gentlemen, it's time for the Action in the Main Attraction here on the Sweet Science Class.
Alright, what's up everybody? Thank you for joining in to today's episode. And today, we're just going to keep it really simple and keep it in the welterweight division. All of our talk is going to be about the 147 class, and there is actually tons to talk about in that one weight class alone. And then at the end, I'm going to run down the whole weekend. We've got a big, big weekend since we're coming off a weekend with basically no boxing at all. They're making up for it this weekend, so I'll get into all those fights at the end. I got Felix and Jakeem standing by as always. So what's up, fellas?
What's going on, Sweet Science Class? Bam. Been a few weeks since I've been on a pod. I'm no longer on the milk carton. Feels good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, Felix. What's up, fellas? What's up, Sweet Science Class?
Okay, so I'm looking in front of me. I wrote down, we were discussing today, all of the fights happening in the next couple weeks and the ones that are also being discussed. And there's a ton of them. Some of them, most of these are confirmed. You know, of course, we got Thurman and Manny next week. You got Khan and Dib this week. Porter Spence coming up. Ugas and Figueroa on the undercard of the Manny Thurman. Lipinitz Molina, same card. Mikey and Danny, the Garcias. That's a hypothetical thing we're hearing being thrown around. Then you got Crawford. There's a ton to talk about. Let's just kick off with this one because it's the closest one and it ain't going to take long. What do we expect from Karin? Does it matter if he beats Dib this Friday? Because in my opinion, he's bringing up a 135 guy who just looked pretty bad against Tevin Farmer all the way up to 147. I think is like a, I'm going to beat you up and look really good after I got embarrassed by Bud Crawford type of fight. I don't like it, and a win means nothing to me, but I'm hearing they'll put him in a high ranking spot if he wins. What do y'all think?
Well, you pretty much nailed everything that I was about to say. But nah, let me go ahead and kind of feed off of that. Amir Khan, he's had losses. We talked about on previous podcasts where a lot of his losses are to the top names. But the last loss he had, it wasn't that he lost to Terrence Crawford. It's the way he lost. And, you know, a lot of people are questioning his heart. We always question his 10, but now people are kind of questioning the heart and all that type of stuff. So this definitely is a fight for him to kind of look good. What division are they trying to put him up in? Was it WBC? What?
I don't actually remember which one it was, but I read that the winner of this fight will be given a, I believe, I don't think I'm making this up, I believe the winner of this fight will be put in a top five spot, which makes me think number five. I don't remember which, but it's just insanity.
Yeah. I mean, that is insanity if you think about it, because that puts him in the mix again with the five, six people we're about to talk about. And I can't fathom that Amir Khan actually belongs in that group right now. I mean, who's your top five? You got Garcia, you got Spence, you got Bud, Manny, Thurman. I mean, I can name another few 147-pound guys that deserve a chance more than Amir Khan. Let's be serious. So, yeah. This fight, to me, holds no weight. It's just for him to get a W under his belt.
Yeah, I think so, too, man. Let's be honest. Khan, he's at the crossroads of his career right now. This fight, to me, doesn't even make sense. He's in his, early 30s, and he's still in that second tier of welterweights. I don't think he'll ever get back to that top tier of welterweights again. So I don't understand why he's not fighting Kell Brook. I don't know if he's saving that for, like, a farewell fight or what, but this fight doesn't make sense. It doesn't really do anything for him. Even if he wins, like you said, he'll be back up, top five in the WBC. He'll end up fighting a top-tier guy, and I don't see him beating any of those guys right now. So it doesn't make sense. He's about a couple losses from becoming a gatekeeper if he keeps fighting.
They need to give somebody else that payday, man. Amir Khan's got a lot of good paydays. Give one of these young fighters that opportunity to, you know, to fight in the top five and try to collect one of these million, $2 million checks.
Exactly.
And another thing, too, is he won't fight Kell Brook because he knows if he loses, that's a wrap. He's not going to be able to make money in his own country anymore.
And what's also interesting is, you know, y'all just went through kind of the top five guys that a win would throw him back in with. I would say of the top guys, you would probably put Danny Garcia more towards the bottom of that five. Do y'all agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And he's already been brutally knocked out by Danny.
Yeah, there you go.
So I say, let's just move on. There's nothing else to say. Next week, we're not going to get into any real breakdowns of these fights or predictions. We'll save that for next week. But this is a hell of a card, and I really didn't notice it at first until Felix pointed it out. It's really a night of 147. The Thurman Manny pay-per-view also has Ugas Figueroa and Lipinets Molina. That's three monster welterweight fights. Let's work from the ground up. Lipinets Molina. What do you think about that one, Jakeem?
Lipinets, he hasn't really impressed me a lot. I haven't seen a lot from him to even give like a real proper critique of him. Molina, is John Molina? He's fighting John Molina?
Yep. Always there to slug it out.
Yeah, and Molina, like, he's just the, you know, you said he's a slugger. He's always in a fight. What was that? Like, 2014, he had Fight of the Year candidate. Like, it should be a good scrap. I really can't tell, like, which way it's going to go, but I need to see more from Lipinets.
Then you're going to have, like, the exact opposite style of fight, possibly. Felix? Your boy Ugas taking on Figueroa.
Cuba.
You like that clash of style?
You know, this is a really interesting fight. This can be a really good fight, or it can just be a sloppy fight where Figueroa makes it sloppy and Ugas doesn't know how to adjust. Because one thing about, I think we've all kind of talked about behind the scenes about Cuban fighters, they never really have a plan B. You know, Ugas should win this fight. If you're going based off skill and pure boxing ability and everything like that, yeah, Ugas should win this fight. I feel like he edged out Porter in the last fight, but I mean, fight could have went either way. But with Figueroa fights in a phone booth. He's your typical Mexican style fighter, you know. And plus, he's a South Texas boy. It's gonna be, if he can make it a phone booth style fight, it's gonna be a long night for Ugas, man. I mean, Figueroa, I think the last fight I saw, didn't he recently lose? Didn't he have a loss recently?
Oh, he's not undefeated. I thought he was undefeated.
He's undefeated?
He might be. I might be confusing him. I was looking at all these box wrecks today. I was looking at a bunch of them going down Nevada. So I've got a bunch of numbers in my head.
I think he's 147 that he's undefeated, and I think, but he's not really active. If that's the right Figueroa, because it's
The Omar Figueroa. Because I think he hasn't been in 147.
Yeah, it's Omar for sure.
Undefeated,
29-0.
Okay, I must be confusing him with someone.
And a draw.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
a draw.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's gonna be that's a big fight. That's an exciting fight. Ugas always makes it close.
No, man, I think Ugas, man, honestly, if I had to pick it, it's gonna be like an 8-4. It's gonna go the distance, but he just can't fall into the trap. He can't fall into the trap. Like we saw Rigondeaux, another Cuban boy. He was kind of fighting that Mexican style, fighting in the pocket. So never know, man. Maybe these guys are trying to make a statement. Lara too. Lara's last fight, he did the same thing. So maybe these guys are learning, or, you know, maybe they're doing their old tricks, but we'll find out.
Yeah, this could also be kind of like Ugas Porter, where it goes to the cards. It's all over the place. Very, very argued and disputed.
Where's the fight taking place?
I don't know. I would guess Vegas.
Is this on the Fox card or the pay-per-view card? Because there's two different cards.
This is all the pay-per-view card. The one on TV will be that heavyweight
Atagbe and Caleb Plant.
And Caleb Plant.
Okay.
Damn, there's some good fights. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's free. And then the pay-per-view kicks on, and there's another fight I'm blanking on, plus the two we just talked about. Then we hop into the main event. And like I said, it's very tempting. I want to start breaking into this fight. I want to open the package and explore it. But we're going to save that for next week as much as we can. But I'm going to ask y'all both the same question. I'll start with Jakeem. Same question, though. If Thurman wins, what's next? And if Pacquiao wins, what's next? What's next for either of them if they manage to pull this off? Because this is pretty big for both when you think about it. It's kind of must win in a way.
All right, well, let me say this. This fight is more important to Keith Thurman than it is to Pacquiao. And I don't think that... I think that's like a underrated factor of how much that Keith Thurman really needs this fight. Because if Pacquiao wins, Pacquiao can just retire. Because I think he was going to retire anyway. He's already spoken about retiring when he fought Broner. I think he wanted one more fight. So if Pacquiao wins, he'll be a champion. He can retire WBA champion. But Thurman, his career is still going on. He's in his early 30s. He hasn't secure his legacy in boxing yet. So this win means more to him. And if he does win, of course, he needs to start seeking that fight with Earl Spence or Sean Porter or whoever wins out of that. But he just needs to create his own legacy. And this fight is going to do it for him. And I would like to see him fight Earl Spence in the future. But now he needs to win. Thurman loses. The welterweight division is real competitive right now, so that's going to push him down, and he's going to have to fight his way back up or to try to make a name. Well, with all the boxing, the sanctions and stuff, it won't be hard for him to get back into like a title shot or anything. But he really needs this win. I think Pacquiao, win or lose, he can retire. It doesn't do anything to his legacy.
Yeah, I agree with all that. One thing I'll say this: if Manny wins, he has no risk but all reward, basically.
Exactly.
If he loses, I mean, his legacy's stamped. But if he wins, oh my goodness, like he moves up, and from that all-time rankings, he moves up a lot of spots, man, because that's a 40-year-old beating an undefeated fighter who is champion, like the undisputed one. Was he? No, he wasn't undisputed, but he had like, what, two belts at once?
Oh, yeah, Thurman, yeah, he had two belts.
Yeah, at one time, I mean, before all this injury and this little hiatus that he took, people could have argued that Thurman was number one, two, or three pound-for-pound fighter in boxing. I mean, he had to be in your top three just because of the guys he was beating. So if Manny can beat a guy who's coming off of a win against Josecito Lopez, Danny Garcia, and Porter, dude, that, you can argue that this is a top 20, top 10 all-time fighter of all time. Just the fact that he's got eight division titles, he's got the names under his belt. The guys he's lost to are all freaking Hall of Famers. So... yeah, I mean, Manny has nothing to lose. As for Thurman, I hope the money's worth it because he's taking a real big risk. He was, you know, I'm not going to say he was ducking Spence and doing all that, but if he loses this fight, Jakeem's right, he's out of the mix. So he'll probably end up fighting like the loser of Spence Porter, you know, who we think Spence will end up winning. Or he'll end up fighting like a Mikey Garcia or somebody down the line. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't see, this has to be a payday move. And that kind of scares me because I hope the Keith Thurman that we've been seeing, you know, these last couple of years seems like a guy who doesn't really have as much hunger. So I hope that, okay, this is Manny Pacquiao. The stakes are high. You know people are going to be watching all over the world. Manny Pacquiao is a worldwide celebrity. This isn't just a pay-per-view star. This is a national superstar. You know, if he handles his business, man, I mean, not only does he move up into the ranks, he also is the guy that beat Manny Pacquiao, and people around the world will see that, and that puts more money in his pocket, and he'll end up fighting. I know he's going to fight the winner, Spence Porter. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. This PBC thing, they're going to milk it all together, and Bud's kind of the odd man out.
But doesn't it seem like to you that I don't think Thurman wants to fight Spence? Like, I've seen Thurman and interviews and everything leading up to the fight, he's real outgoing and talking a lot, but when it comes to Earl Spence, he got a different type of energy. You don't keep that same energy when it comes to Spence. Like, I don't even think I've heard Thurman like say Spence's name.
But the thing is if Thurman wants a belt, he's gonna have to fight Earl Spence. I mean,
yeah, eventually. I don't think he wants to, but like you said, he's gonna have to with the PBC and everything, with their stable, he's gonna have to sooner or later.
Yeah.
And I do agree, maybe it is a money move in a way. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me because it is very high risk. And even Terrence Crawford, who they were wanting to throw Manny Pacquiao at was saying no. Because, and I saw a Tim Bradley interview today where they were asking him his prediction on this fight. And he basically said that. He was like, it's a bad fight for Keith because if he wins, he beat a 40-year-old Manny and people are going to say, who cares? And if he loses, he lost to a 40-year-old Manny. It's yeah. It's not good for him. That's kind of why Crawford turned it down. He didn't think he was going to lose. I think Crawford would beat him viciously. I think that'd be a very bad fight for Manny. And he knew he wouldn't get credit. So it is very odd for me for Thurman to avoid all these other guys his age and go right to Manny. And it's not a safe fight. Manny can still absolutely win this. And then it's really downhill from there if that happens. And y'all mentioned Bud. So speaking of Bud, we were going to get into him pretty soon. Who is this man going to fight? Because I was hearing Kell Brook for a while. That seems to kind of fizzled out. And I'm hearing now, and this is a guy that they were thinking about several months back, Kavalauskas. I hope I'm saying that right. And then he had the draw with Ray Robinson, who also recently had a draw with Josh Kelly. Ray Robinson is shutting down these undefeated guys with these draws, giving them trouble like an old school vet. So that took Kavalauskas out of the running for the title fight with Bud. That's when Bud fought Khan. Here we go again. Crawford has no opponents. I'm hearing maybe Kavalauskas. I was hearing maybe Brook. Bud's probably my favorite, but I'm running out of ideas for the man over there. Where are y'all at with this?
Top Rank and Crawford, they're kind of stuck in the limbo as they've been in, like, in the past year and a half with all the world choice being over with PDC. I think it depends on what they want to do. If they want to do pay-per-view, I think they'll probably go with Kell Brook since he's a bigger name. He has the UK appeal. You know, a lot of fans in the UK. He's kind of known in the U.S., probably as known as much as Crawford is in the U.S. Crawford probably a little more, but yeah, I mean, they're stuck in a limbo. He's on the outside looking in because of politics. If it's a pay-per-view, I think he'll go with Brook. If it's not a pay-per-view regular, ESPN, I really don't know who he's going to fight.
Man, this Bud Crawford and who he's going to fight, this talk is really getting exhausting as a fight fan because he is in a limbo. And all the top 147-pound guys are playing outside while Bud Crawford's stuck in the house. You know, probably he's that kid that broke his leg or broke his arm before summer break and has to watch all the kids playing outside. You know, so that's where he's at right now, man. And it's kind of bad that we're talking about him fighting a Kell Brook or something. Like, not taking anything away from Kell Brook. I like Kell Brook, but Bud Crawford should be fighting a lot better opponents than Kell Brook right now. But it just... the whole logistics of these networks and, you know, all this promoters and all this stuff, it makes it really difficult. So I'm really hoping, I mean, he doesn't have to fight necessarily an Errol Spence, but PBC and Top Rank, they need to try to get somebody from PBC to kind of cross that bridge, man, just to get some kind of negotiation going, because it is possible, man. We've been seeing a lot of people doing cross promotion and doing all that type of stuff. It is possible. There's too much money out there. I mean, everybody can eat. Let's put it that way. And we should have learned from the Anthony Joshua situation. Like, y'all are milking these fights, but let's go get that money now, man. I mean, how much more can you milk a fight to make more money? I mean, they need a fight by next year. Let's put it that way. 2020 should be the year where all the fights that we've been talking about are going to happen. And I mean, you know, the Wilder Fury's already set. Let's get the, you know, I'm pretty sure Triple G, Canelo are going to end up fighting. So let's get Bud against one of these PBC guys, man. Even if it's a Danny Garcia or, hell, if it's a Ugas, something, one of these guys, man.
Yeah, I would at least like to see him against someone like Ugas. I'd love to see him take on the winner of Porter Spence. Or if Thurman could beat Manny, man, I would love Thurman Crawford. That would be brilliant.
What if Pacquiao wins, and do you think they'll Top Rank? And all that. Well, you just said Bud wouldn't fight him, but what if the money's is there? I mean,
if Manny beats Keith, it could change Bud's mind. But I don't think Manny was really super wanting to do that. And I know Freddie Roach kind of even, I remember seeing an interview where he didn't like it. He thinks he would get beat up pretty bad. I think if Manny does beat Thurman, they're going to do everything they can to stay away from Bud. I really think stylistically they see that as a very bad match.
Do you also think that it's because Manny would stay away because maybe he just wants to fight PBC fighters, and that's the reason why he signed with PBC? Just to kind of, because it seems like he's probably making more money. He probably doesn't want to deal with Top Rank and Bob Arum anymore.
Yeah, it's probably very simple. And let me put this hypothetical out there, because this would be a sensational match. What if Manny beats Keith, and then Sean Porter shocks the world? And then you take Manny and Porter, who have sparred. They sparred about 10 years ago. I've heard stories that it got very competitive and it got up there. What if Manny and Porter topped this whole thing and we got to see a Sean Porter-Manny Pacquiao pay-per-view? That would actually be pretty entertaining. They're both kind of bulls coming forward.
Yeah, I think that would probably be one of the most exciting matchups, potential matchups that could happen. And I don't know, man. A lot of people sleep on Porter. I really like Porter. A lot of people don't like his style. I don't necessarily like, you know, his kind of crazy style. But, like, he's a bull. Like, I don't even see Earl Spence beating him 100%. Like, I still think there's a high chance that Porter can beat Spence. But, yeah, if those two meet Pacquiao and Porter, that would be a good, that would probably be the best, like, just for the most exciting fight. But, like I said, I think Pacquiao's probably going to
win after Thurman. Well, you know what? Even though I think Spence is going to win, has Spence ever been in a dog fight before? I can't. I mean, the Kelvin fight.
With Brooke.
Brooke was a pretty even fight, but, I mean, like, he's kind of had some easy pickings. And I'm not, I don't mean as far as, like, skill-wise. I mean just stylistically.
Well, and Brooke had jumped 13 pounds, got his face broke by Triple G, then dropped back 13 pounds and fought Spence. It wasn't looking good going into it.
Yeah. And, I mean, he did travel over there, so I give it that was a little handicap for Spence, but it kind of balances out. I don't know, man. Like I said, I like Spence, and he's probably my favorite active fighter, but I got to be fair. And that Mikey Garcia fight just really kind of, I don't know. Yeah, he boxed his head off, but he was supposed to do more than just box his head off.
He should have stopped him.
He was supposed to viciously, brutally murder him.
Yes. Then it was all the it was there. It was there for him in front of him to just take it like that, and he didn't. He was just kind of coasting, and I just wanted to see some type of sense of urgency and seeing like, hey man, I got to take this dude out. But it was almost like he was trying to prove everybody like, oh, I can outbox him. I can do it. Okay. That's cool, but not against this guy. I mean, this guy just came up to your weight class and wasn't even a big threat as a puncher at 140 and goes up to 147. And I don't know, that just kind of, I'm not going to say a bad taste in my mouth because it's not that deep, but it has me, you know, questioning a little bit of his power, not going to lie. So, you know, only time will tell, man. I mean, as for a Porter in a Pacquiao fight, man. I think Porter could win that because of, I guess you can see the Horn fight, the Pacquiao, and how he kind of bullied him.
Yeah.
Pacquiao's not that strong in the ring. I mean, he might be fast, got hand speed, you know, got a little power, but I think Porter would bully the hell out of him.
You know what's interesting? Like, you just kind of spoke on it, Felix, how Porter kind of fought Mikey Garcia differently. And, well, not Porter, Spence fought Mikey Garcia differently, and he didn't finish him like everybody wanted him to, or everybody expected him to. Porter last fight, he fought you guys differently because of criticism about how he boxed. So both of these guys, if they fight each other, they're coming off fights where they kind of change their style depending on their opponent. So now it's going to be interesting to see how they fight each other.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
I agree with all that. And the last fight I was going to touch on, you pretty much just eased me in bringing up Mikey. The very possible, we keep hearing it, Garcia versus Garcia, Mikey Danny. I still feel weird saying Mikey as a welterweight. I don't even like saying his name in a 147 fight, but sounds like we may get Mikey Danny. I guess that could be fun. I see Danny by stoppage. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it will be by stoppage. You want to know why? Because Danny goes for the kill. I mean, last fight we saw it. He kind of had a few fights where it looked like Danny lost that hunger, but I really think those two losses, I mean, and he took that break and he just came back against Granados. He looked like a monster out there, man. And we're talking about a guy in Granados who I don't think he ever touched canvas. He's a tough, you know, tough Mexican from Chi-Town. And, I mean, Danny made it look easy. And we're talking, I mean, Granados has a resume. He's fought a lot of tough fighters. And, like I said, Danny made it look easy. And I don't think he'd try to just outbox Mikey. Because I think Danny knows now who he is. Because I feel like a lot of those times against Thurman and Porter, Danny was trying to box and trying to, you know, and he wasn't really as aggressive. I think he knows now that in order for him to win fights, he has to be aggressive, and he has to not necessarily try to win rounds, man. Try to knock dudes out, because that's how he made a name for himself. If you look at all his great wins, at the time, he wasn't even winning on the card. It was because he was a stronger fighter and he was going for the knockout. The only time I seen him really outbox somebody was against Lucas Matisse. But even then, I mean, he was hitting him with some large shots. So I don't know, man. This fight, for me, I think Danny will stop him in like 7-8 rounds.
That's exactly where I'm seeing it. I'm seeing like a 7th or 8th round Danny stoppage.
I'm going to have to disagree with you, Felix. I don't think that Garcia is that aggressive, and I don't think he was that aggressive against Granados. I feel like that Granados' style is kind of tailor-made for Danny, because he's a counterpuncher at heart. No matter what, Danny Garcia, he's a counterpuncher. So, with that said, him and Mikey, because of how technical Mikey is, it could go to distance. I think Garcia will win, but it could go to distance.
Which Garcia?
Mikey. My bad. I think Danny will beat Mikey. I'm not really high on a stoppage, but a decision for sure. Because Garcia, he's a counterpuncher. In a fight against Granados was coming forward. He comes forward a lot, and he's kind of sloppy. So I think even the knockdowns, they were counterpunches by Garcia. My thing with Mikey is, why does he want to keep fighting at 147? I'm kind of thinking he can't even make weight no more at the lower weights. Or it might be the money that's making him stay at 147, but I really do not understand why he wants to stay at 147.
I think it's both of those reasons. I think it's for the money. I think he went up for the money, and now he can't come back down.
Exactly. He's not the most...
But about the aggressive, like, the thing what I noticed about Mikey is he stood in front of Spence. And that's why I think I was so frustrated with Spence, because Mikey stood in front of him the whole night. If Mikey stands in front of Danny, I'm telling you, the results are going to be different.
I 100% agree. Because Danny just... I got to disagree. I think he was aggressive against Granados. Not in a sense of he comes out rushing and throws a lot of punches, but
he was sitting down.
There you go. Exactly. Stole the words. He was sitting down, and he's got one of the better check left hooks in the game. He will drop you. He sits down, and he puts it all into his punches, unlike what really Spence was doing against Mikey. I think if they trade at all and he's hitting Mikey at all, yeah, Mikey's going.
Oh, yeah, I believe it can happen. But also, aggressiveness, it depends on the level of fighter that they're fighting, too. Because if you look at Garcia when he fought, if you look at Danny Garcia when he fought Sean Porter and Thurman, he was almost a completely different fighter than when he fought Granados. So it depends on the level of the opponent, too.
I think, and I guess it's all perception, and maybe Felix and I end up being wrong, but I think the way we see it, it wasn't so much Granados being lesser. We think Danny wanted to make a statement after those two losses, and that's why he was sitting down hard. Maybe he comes out and loses, and we look dumb, and you're totally right. But I think we're just perceiving the Granados fight differently, and I see why each of us are taking our stands.
And let's not also forget, Danny Garcia, his chin ranks amongst the top. I'm talking about his chin up, in my opinion, his chin is up there with the Triple G's and the Canelos in boxing. This dude eats punches. I've never seen, like, Danny, I mean, I've seen him a little stunned, but have you ever seen Danny will catch a flush shot and walk through it? So I know Mikey wouldn't be able to hurt him.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I agree with that, too.
Danny got that 6-toe for balance.
Yeah, for real.
Anything else y'all want to sprinkle on top the 147? I think we've pretty much crushed most of this.
I'm just really waiting to see. I feel like this is the phase before we're going to get all the fights we want. And maybe I'm just being a dumb, optimistic boxing fan, like always. But I think that with with Thurman back in the mix, you finally have Spence fighting a legit 147 pounder in, you know, in PBC right now. It's not guaranteed that the Garcias are going to fight, but if they fight, I feel like Danny will win. So you might either get a Danny Thurman rematch, you might get Spence versus Danny, you might get, well, Jakeem thinks that, you know, Thurman's going to be ducking. Is it a Keith Runtime? He will.
Runtime.
Yeah, but now, but like I said, I know all those guys are going to fight. The biggest question is, what's next for Bud Crawford? That's the only thing that has me kind of dreading the future, because we can't have another two or three fights of him fighting Kell Brooks and, I mean, Amir Khans and things like that. Like, this can't happen.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm in the same boat. Despite Crawford's situation, I am excited for the other welterweights. We give PBC a lot of flack, but they are, I mean, they really don't have no choice because they do have all the welterweights, but they're making the fights happen, and that's what the boxing fans want. So, I mean, by next year, we're probably going to see either Porter and Pacquiao, or Porter and Thurman again, or Spence and Thurman, and I'm excited for it. So the welterweight division for like the past, what, 3-4 years, it's kind of been like the hottest division in boxing, and it still is. So it's, hopefully it's more to come.
Yeah, and then you guys and Figueroa, they're going to be in the mix. I mean, I think the winner is fighting one of these guys. I truly do. Especially Figueroa. If I'm not mistaken, he beat Errol Spence in amateurs. And I think it was amateurs or like Olympic trials, something like that.
Man. Yeah, I think I heard something like that too.
Yeah, yeah. So you got to, man, that stable is deep. That stable is deep, man. But we need one of these guys to just cross the bridge and fight Bud Crawford. Like I said, it doesn't have to be one of these stars, but if we can get a PBC fighter to fight over there on the other side, then that's a start, man. Because I know they're not going to be able to build that bridge overnight.
Yeah, my final thoughts on Bud, I really hope he can get the winner of Ugas Figueroa or Lipinets Molina, at just the very least. That'd be interesting. And, yeah, I pretty much agree with all that. The 147 is super hot right now. And before I give a rundown of this weekend recap, something funny just popped into my head. Had a humorous conversation yesterday with a guy telling me that boxing was dead, and he said that there's only about 5 names in boxing. We just named well over 10, and we're in one division. I think that kind of puts that to rest. I think we just talked about 10 pretty well-known stars, and we didn't go anywhere outside of the 147 waters. And upcoming this weekend, a huge, huge weekend. Friday, ESPN Plus, you got the rematch, Brandt and Murata. If y'all remember the first time around, Murata was heavy favorite. He was supposed to win, and they were going to set up a fight with Triple G over in his country, make a big thing. Maybe they were looking too far ahead. Brandt shocked the world, beat him. And I'm very excited to see this rematch on Friday. Then you hop into Saturday. All day and night, you got DAZN and ESPN and ESPN Plus. There's some in America, there's some in other countries, so it's literally be all day through the afternoon, all the way through the night. On ESPN, you're going to have Shakur Stevenson taking on Alberto Guevara. On ESPN Plus, back-to-back, double main event of heavyweights. It's going to be two epic wars, Joe Joyce versus Bryant Jennings and Daniel Dubois versus Nathan Gorman. I cannot wait for Dubois versus Gorman. Two young, 21 and 23 years old, both undefeated, both knockout artists. You don't usually see two fighters with records like this thrown in this early with each other. This is super exciting, and someone's going to take a pretty big step back early in their career. Also, Saturday on DAZN, you got Ray Vargas taking on Tomoki Kameda. I think that's going to be a war. And on Fox Sports, you got Jamal James taking on the old school vet, one of my favorites, Antonio DeMarco. I hope he still got it. Hope he's not just an old gatekeeper at this point. So we got a fun, fun weekend full of fights, making up for last week's absence. I think it's pretty much all we got for today's show. Fellas, anything you want to shout out, say your goodbyes?
Yeah, I just want to shout out to everybody who's liking the page and commenting and being active in the group and everything. Shout out to Mexico and all the Latin American countries. You know, y'all, they show a lot of support on the page. Everybody like the page and invite your friends to like the page.
Also, Look for the Sweet Science Class, August 24th, in the Frank Irwin Center in Austin, Texas, for Capital City Fight Night. Underwood Promotions is going to be promoting that, along with Davies Entertainment. They're going to have a great card that night. We're going to be helping. You know, we got a media team going out there. It's our first little event that we're going to be doing, and we got more to come. So keep supporting us, man, because if it wasn't for y'all, we wouldn't be able to do all this stuff. So keep the likes coming, because the more likes you give us, the more support, the more we can get, the more content we can get for you guys. So
exactly.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
Exactly. We thank y'all a lot, and it really is kind of a full circle. The more followers we get, the more we're able to do, which means the more we can bring to y'all. So it's really a beautiful full circle, yin and yang. And yes, please like the page, search Facebook, search the Sweet Science Class. And just a little announcement, we're going to talk about it soon. I'm going to make a video in the group. Our two-year anniversary will be August 30th. We are going to get rid of the Sweet Science Class Facebook group at that point and focus mainly on the page. It causes a lot of confusion. We need to get the traffic in the group over on the page. We'll go into more detail. So when you're searching for us, please look for the page. We've got almost 13,000 followers. We bring all the best news. We have our podcast. We've got our YouTube. We've got a Twitter. We've got an Instagram. We're crushing it everywhere. And we have the sweetscienceclass.com under construction right now. Should be done in a matter of weeks. We got a writing team under us. Too many people to shout out, but we love each and every one of them and y'all and all the supporters. And we love the Sweet Science Class just like y'all. Thank you for tuning in. And we'll be back next week to really dive in to Keith Thurman versus Manny Pacquiao.